From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Blue Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I wanted to say, first and foremost, man, a big happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there that have served our great country. I want to shout out to all the veterans out there, regardless if they're sports fans, non-sports fans, your service to our country. With greatest gratitude, like just much respect for all you've done to protect the life and liberty of how we do our daily living. Thank you for the veterans. Thank you to the veterans on this platform, and in particular, the great Chris, Knickerbocker Av, Dominic, so on and so forth, man. Shout outs to those guys and gals, man, for the veterans. All right, here's part deuce of our episode with the prospects. I saw the Twitter going crazy right before this episode about Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. If the stakeholders want to talk about that, we can go that route. OKC has a new head coach. They hire within. I'll get to Chris's comments as far as the NBA draft. Now, here's the thing about the draft next week. I look forward to the NBA draft, the virtual draft next week, because after the entire conclusion of this draft next week, we're going to be on this platform to discuss exactly what the Knicks did and whether we agree with the picks, disagree with the picks, react in fashion, what other teams did with their 2020 NBA virtual draft. We'll talk about it. We got our squad, what the Knicks are going to do. My stance has not really necessarily changed. I'm kind of staying put on what I said 2 weeks ago with Coach Chris and Dom as far as how the Knicks should attack it if they stay put with their draft selections in the first and second round. But without further ado, a veteran himself, source of the streets for the Knicks, Knickerbocker Avenue. Hello, sir. Say hello to the people. Happy Veterans Day to you. We'll get Coach Chris on and Dominic on after you, sir. But first, you say something real quick. Av, how you doing, bro?
Hey, how's it going, Steve? It's been a while since I've been on the platform. I do apologize for that. But happy Veterans Day to all our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guard, all those who probably wore the uniform. Happy Veterans Day, and especially for my Marines. Happy birthday yesterday, 245, still going strong.
That's right, 245 for the Marines, man. Av, we're going to lead off with you, of course. Dominic, say hello to the people. How's everything, bro?
Good evening, Steve, and the rest of the guys. And, of course, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to all my brothers and sisters in uniform. Job well done. Today's our day. We could wear our hats proudly and be thankful, or thank a vet, actually, like you just did, Steve. I say you well. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for you and Av, everything you've done for the country, man. Most respect, much respect. And then, of course, Coach Chris, man, what's going on, bro? How's everything, man?
Everything's good, man. Shout out to everybody who had any time in any form of military, man. I dated two women in the Army, and I saw, you know, what they went through. You deal with it when you're with them, and, you know, just much courage to them and much respect all the way across the board.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get to this prospects part two. Now, Av, you're definitely probably going to hammer the Knicks side of things. 2 weeks ago, Coach Chris and Dominic and myself, we looked at the Knicks at the draft positions, the two picks in the first round and the second round. My stance has not changed. I kind of want to go athletic slash shooter route. I think that's the need. We have needs, of course, across the board, Av, but that if you wanted to fill in gaps, I had a couple of options. A couple of weeks ago, I want to go for the point guard and get a wing later in the draft, an athletic wing or bruiser on top of that, and a shooter. But the Knicks, give us your opinion on the Knicks side of, and how would you want to go about it with the draft next week? And of course, once the draft is concluded next week, we'll definitely talk about it. But give us your thoughts, and then go right to Dom and Coach Chris.
Well, my position in terms of the NBA draft, it's kind of twofold, because the fact is that, yeah, the Knicks do have a lot of deficiencies that they need to address. They need a point guard. They need more slashers, wing guys. I think they also still need another big man just to groom, because I don't think Taj Gibson is going to be here forever. I mean, let's be realistic. But and you don't know what Mitchell Robinson will develop in year three, and so forth. So you never know about those things. But I mean, considering that we're drafting number eight, the best available has to be the obvious choice. That could be anybody. We don't know. I mean, we have an idea of who's going to go. We're pretty sure LaMelo is going to go to the top three, if not number one. Same thing with a lot of other cats, man. You don't know if Wiseman goes two or three. You don't know if Ogunku does, or Edwards, or Halliburton. I mean, I like all those guys. And if they should happen to fall in the Knicks' lap, it would be foolish of them to not take that, make that decision. Regardless of the position, you take the best available. And if you find out that you don't necessarily don't want that individual, you can always package them in any kind of trade, especially now that we're hearing the talks of the possibility of Russell Westbrook wanting out of Houston. And if the Knicks really want to make a serious splash in this offseason, that's a good way to go. I mean, I know a lot of people, will decide to make the pass judgment saying about his attitude, his history. He's just a statistics packer and things of that sort. But the reality is that if you want to make a big, humongous splash into this free agency and in this draft, that would be the way to go. I mean, yeah, we're hearing the Chris Paul trades. We're hearing, the other teams that are involved. The players that are moving, the Knicks would be foolish to not at least entertain those conversations and not look deeply into considering making a move for either one of those cats. Guys that I like, I mean, I like Killian Hayes. I think that he's an obvious good pick. He's a long-term point guard. He has some time to develop, but I think that I'm not looking at any of the players in the draft this year that doesn't need something. I mean, I think everybody has their strong points, but they have their weak points as well. Another guy I really like, and you can call me a homer if you want, Cole Anthony. His dad was a Knick. Why not he be a Knick? That's another idea to go. I mean, obviously, if Halliburton is there, you have to take another look at him and consider him, but considering the position that we're in the eighth pick. So we're out of the lottery. We're out of, out of the situation where the real possibility of any such player being available. But if Hayes is there, you take him. If Halliburton's there, you take him. If Edwards somehow fucking drops, you take him. But those are my two guys that I kind of like. I'm pretty sure that if the Knicks go Hayes, Anthony's going to follow, not too far after. So the next, if you're going with Killian Hayes, you're going to want to get a slasher three kind of player, somebody who can get into the paint, can shoot, and can work effectively in Thibodeau's offense. And for some people who don't remember what Thibodeau's offense looks like, just take a look at the old Bulls and just look at recently how he took over the Minnesota Timberwolves and how he had, Towns, Wiggins, and everybody else positioned. The way they ran that offense is what propelled them into the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. So that's something that I'm really keeping a very close eye on. First of all, who becomes available, and two, how could we maneuver that pick, whether we decide to keep it or not?
Cool. Hey, Dom, let's go with you. What's your thoughts? Has your thoughts changed from 2 weeks ago? Anything else you'd like to add? And you heard what Av said, and then we'll go to Coach Chris.
the more I read into this, because it's a hit or miss draft. The funny thing is, Cleveland has, again, going by mock drafts, they're in line to get Halliburton. And it'll be the third guard, point guard slash guard that they have selected. They got Sexton. They got Garland. Now they're going to get him. Okay, if they go that route, then, yes, this kid is climbing the charts, Hayes. But, again, they're all projects. I got a funny feeling, guys. I don't think the Knicks are going to have that pick. I got a funny feeling they're going to trade that pick the same way I got a funny feeling Golden State. I already heard stories. Again, if you believe all these stories, Golden State wants to win now. So they're willing to deal that pick for a quality player to fit in what they already have. Again, I think a lot of people are thinking, and Coach could probably attest to this because he knows younger talent better than I'll ever know. But too many teams, guys, are in a win now type of scenario. I mean, this draft is just like any other draft. You know, is the guy going to pan? This is probably the worst one, guys, just from me watching draft. We haven't seen these kids. We don't know what they've been doing. Half of them were one and dones to begin with, only played a handful of games. So what do we really know about them except workouts? We see that every year, too, guys. Guys shooting jumpers, going to the basket, whatever. Mitchell Robinson's, you know, the next Dirk Nowitzki. I hope he is, don't get me wrong. But, again, we keep watching these tapes. But a lot of teams, guys, I think we're going to be a bit surprised that a lot of teams are going to move their picks, especially quality teams, that, again, that want to win now. Why are we the only team that could win 17 games in two out of the last 4 or 5 years, and we're still going in the draft thinking 5, 10 years from now? And I'll go back to what I said without getting winded. I do not think the Knicks put all these people in place in their brass for a 5 to 10 year plan. I think the Knicks are going to catch up with the NBA. They're going to start acquiring players. It may piss some people off, but I think the Knicks want to get back to some kind of respectability, and they want to do it as soon as possible. So I got a funny feeling, guys, that there's going to be a lot of moves either at the draft or before this draft. And it's the teams we think are having them picked might not have them, Steve.
All right, cool, cool. Coach Chris, what you got for us, man? Your stance changed from 2 weeks ago. You heard what Av said and Don said. You have that drafting remorse. Where you at with the Knicks, man? And how are you looking at this first round, second round, next week?
So I was able to go get some time and look at some of these guys a little bit better. And I do like the Hayes kid a lot more than when we had our discussion 2 weeks ago. I was able to kind of look at some of his film, and, you know, like Don said, everybody looks good on tape. You know, you edit and make it look as good as you want, but his ball control, his understanding of the game, the kid's been playing pro for a while now. I do like the way he runs the court. I don't, like I said before, I don't like drafting guys that we already have, guys at that same position that are still young that we just – haven't taken the time to develop, and we just want to draft a new kid. I don't. That doesn't sit well with me, and I was saying that about Knox. But I do like this Hayes kid. But I agree. I do think there's going to be a lot of trades, a lot of stuff popping up out of nowhere that you didn't think of. You know, Cleveland, they're saying everything from Halliburton to Toppin to the European kid. I mean, it's all over the place. What I will say is right now, being that this is a weak draft, I wouldn't believe anybody. I wouldn't listen to anybody's reports, nobody, because it's so hit or miss this year that Golden State is trying to move out of that second spot, although I do think that Wiseman fits what they need. They've been needing a center. They've been playing with trash centers except for DeMarcus Cousins for the last 7 years. And this kid will fit right with their needs and be able to bridge the gap for whoever comes in after Steph and Clay are gone. So it's going to be interesting to see. But as far as the Knicks, you know, I just – whoever the best player is that's available, I think that's where we need to go at this point. I think we need to fill holes everywhere. But whoever's available at that point, the best player, I think we just got to go that route. This is that kind of draft. Just draft the best available. And, you know, whether we package it up and try to get Westbrook, I wouldn't mind getting Westbrook. You could give up a couple players and picks. Nothing too crazy, but I wouldn't mind bringing in Westbrook because he knows how to win. He'll teach some of these young guys how to win. He's that kind of Thibodeau type of guy. And I think there's going to be other guys in the NBA that's going to look at that and say, you know what? I want to go to New York now, too. So that's just what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, the Russell Westbrook situation in Houston as far as wanting out, I was kind of, you know, you guys know where I stand with Chris Paul, mostly because of his injury. Now, you know, Chris Paul is more about connections as well as a skilled ball player, handles, he can shoot it. But my whole thing was, like, with me and Knickerbocker Apps have said for years about Chris Paul, he's always injured. But now, if you open up the door for Westbrook, I mean, it will be his team. But what am I willing to give up? If it's picks, I'm willing to give up picks for Westbrook, who's going to take charge and be an alpha, a guy that Dom has, we spoke years about, Russell Westbrook. I mean, there's no surprise. We all know what he brings to the table, that energy. It would definitely be great for the home games if they have Madison Square Garden home games. Real quick, let me shout out to Chris, and then we'll go back to Av. But Chris's thoughts on the draft. It says, I truly think the trilogy, Barnett and Robinson, for the Knicks would be complete by selecting Zavin Vassell from Florida State. The kid's a high-flying, explosive leaper. When he has an opening to the basket, regularly finishes with highlight dunks. He makes it look easy. He's a fluid athlete who runs the floor well. Good length, possesses a near 7-foot wingspan and an athletic body. He should be there when the time comes. The only way he should not be there, should not be picked, is Toppin or Avita are available. So Toppin, because of his power game, will bring a new dimension to the team. And Avita, because he's a team's first three-position guy who provides an instant offense defensive presence. So that is Chris's comments for this episode on the prospects, too. I'd like to iterate, go back to Av, as far as you brought up Cole Anthony, knowing that his dad played at the Garden. I know Dom's a big North Carolina guy. Tar Heels, through and through. Cole Anthony was a guy started his season last year and got, you know, clipped up because of the injuries. So I like to say, like to add on what Chris said, I'm looking at the order of the draft. I mean, these teams are outside of Golden State because we all know their situation. It's almost like they tank because those guys, you know, Klay Thompson was hurt from the Raptors finals, and Steph, once he got hurt, they were just in it for the pick. So what do you like to add to that, Av, as far as the order, the Knicks trading it, and we have to not these guys, but we have to remind ourselves or remind people that this is a new regime. So to me, this is a fresh slate. They're like, this is not, the Knicks have a bad history with the picks, but because they have new guys in place, like Dom said, we have to take it for the fresh slate they should earn. I mean, that they deserve, because it's not like it's Steve Mills drafted. It's not like it's Grunfeld drafted. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's these guys. These is a whole new crop of Knicks executives is weighing in on this pick. What's your confidence on those guys as well, Av? And anything else you'd like to go back to Coach Chris and Dom about?
Well, I'm, my confidence in them is definitely a little higher than it was in years past. Then I also said the same thing about Phil Jackson before he made his first pick. But then again, this is different kind. Yeah, you remember all that. We got Ntilikina in that. Actually, no, we got Porzingis, and then, you know, Porzingis ended up being what he was. Then we got Ntilikina, and then finally, you know, the Phil Jackson show was over, and Steve Mills made a bonehead move and got Kevin Knox when other guys were definitely available. But because, like you said, because the situation is different, it is Leon Rose, it is World Wide West, you know, Scott Perry's still there, so he's kind of like the old head of the Knicks bunch, who's been there for, you know, for at least a couple of more years and knows these guys. He's drafted a couple of these guys, or at least has been in that war room with those guys. He can at least, you know, chime in and offer a little bit more of experience, since Leon Rose and Wes has never been in an NBA draft in their position. They're new to the job, but their main purpose, throughout their whole career, is to evaluate talent. Now, I would hope that they would be, you know, that they are actually looking at live workouts instead of just looking at highlight reels that they're, you know, that their, you know, their management has sent over. I would hope to, you know, to really see, you know, that they actually did the due diligence, and I can then, you know, lay my hat on that and say, all right, I see what you're doing. Let's roll with it. Let's see where this takes us. The fact that it's not a Scott, it's not a Steve Mills, it's not a Phil Jackson, it's not, you know, Donnie Walsh, it's not anybody else that, you know, that are already stuck in their old ways. Yes, somebody who has a different aspect of evaluating talent. They have their own, you know, their own nuances and their own viewpoints, and they can at least develop some form of a united opinion of what it is that the Knicks are looking for and what they're planning to do with this pick. Now, oddly enough, while I'm saying this, Bleacher Report just posted this thing about that the Knicks, the Pistons, and the Bulls are all looking to trade up to number two. That, you know, that obviously is, you know, is something that's been weighing in everybody's mind. Should the Knicks trade up? Should the Knicks trade up? I don't think that they should. I don't think that the Knicks should even, you know, contemplate trading up. I think that they should stay put. And if they're going to make the trade for themselves, make it with the best available. If they're not making it for themselves and they plan on moving the pick, you know, in order to get themselves into a better position to acquire other, you know, other players that are already in the league, like a Westbrook, like a Paul, like anybody else that's available, then do so. And I can have the utmost confidence that they're going to make the right decision for this team, because, like Dom said, yeah, a lot of the teams up top ahead of us, they're all in the win now mentality. So are the Knicks. They're not looking to just be, you know, another lottery team or another going into the draft team. They want to actually, you know, make the playoffs and make a splash and kind of change the narrative of themselves. So they have to go with the best available, which I don't doubt that they will. Or make the best deal. And like you said, Steve, a lot of people are going to be pissed. They're like, oh, you can't trade that guy. Oh, you can't give up that much. Sometimes we're just going to have to be, you know, big boys and girls and accept the fact that, you know, these players are exchangeable. And at the end of the day, what's more important is the Knicks finally achieving the ultimate dream of bringing that Larry O'Brien trophy home to the Garden, whether we play at the Garden or not. But that's the overall goal, and I think that fans have to kind of get, you know, get that through their heads and stick to that mantra and stop getting attached to this player, that player, because he's homegrown or we drafted him or we got attached to them. No, we have to get out of that method. So I know that RJ and Mitchell were untouchable. I don't think so. I'm not resting my laurels on that one. I just know that they're going to make their plan is to make a big splash.
Hold on, real quick. Follow up question from me to you, Av, and then we'll go to Dom. So you're saying RJ and Mitchell are untouchable? I don't necessarily disagree with that. If I don't have to give them up, I wouldn't. I believe in RJ Barrett probably more than most Knicks fans. I think a lot of Knicks fans do. I'm actually a proponent of Mitchell Robinson for his defense than anything. His offense did not come around in year two. I'm a believer in that project. Where do you stand with those two particular Knicks? And then we'll go back to Don.
I love those guys. I like what they bring. I like the potential that they present. I like, you know, how they carry themselves. I like, you know, I like a lot of things about them. But I'm a Knicks fan more than I'm an RJ Barrett fan. I'm a Knicks fan before I'm a Mitchell Robinson fan. I'm a Knicks fan. I want the organization to succeed. And it really doesn't matter, you know, what's the name on the back, you know, who's here and who's not. It's the matter of, did the Knicks finally change the narrative and reverse the last 25 years of mediocrity and finally make the splash and make the statement that the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers, have to make?
All right, Dominic, what's your thoughts on that? And anything else on any of these prospects, the draft order teams, like Chicago, Charlotte, who's Atlanta, Detroit, the entire draft process. So what are you waiting on? What are you banking on? And so on and so forth. We'll go back to Coach Chris.
I just want to touch on something Knickerbocker Ave said. He made great points. The only point that I find hard for the Knicks right now, especially trying to move up in the draft, let's say what Knickerbocker Ave said, the number two pick. We got to put our reality hats on, guys, sometimes, and think to ourselves, who are the Knicks going to give up for a number two pick? Who is going to want anybody on the Knicks? I've said this, that there ain't no untradeable player. You might like him, I might like him, but ain't nobody untradeable, especially in the position the Knicks are in with this rebuilding, these projects. I like these guys, too. They might be great kids. Again, I watched R.J. Barrett in college. He couldn't shoot in college. He couldn't shoot in the NBA. Can he get better? Probably. But if you could parlay him or any one of the Knicks into a bona fide player like the rest of the NBA is doing, then you got to do that. You got to pull that trigger. The thing that I really one of the rumors, and I hate to say rumors, two of them, the only thing I can see improving the Knicks other than this draft pick is, one, possibly that Westbrook trade. Because the Knicks, with that trade, if anybody saw the scenario, the Knicks get Westbrook, Tobias Harris, and Shake Milton. Houston gets Horford from Philly. As bizarre as this sounds, Harden goes to Philly. Now, is Houston having this yard sale? But the key in the trade is the Knicks give up Randall and Knox and possibly a pick. That, to me, is a good scenario, guys, especially going with the we want to be competitive today, not 5 years from now, today. Now, maybe an easier fix, because New Orleans seems to be stacking draft picks, and they're going to have to pay, what's the skinny kid's name? Ingram. They're going to have to pay him. Long term, they're probably going to have to pay Zion if he can stay healthy. Why not attempt to go get Drew Holiday? Give up a pick, give up something. Now you got a point guard. And in the event you keep Julius Randle, Julius Randle had one of his better seasons playing alongside Drew Holiday, who was a point guard, who's a pretty aggressive dude, a good leader at point guard, and not that old. So the Knicks, again, I'm not in their brass, but I keep going back to it, Steve. I got a funny feeling the Knicks are not in this for the long run. So if you could pull the trigger, you pull the trigger. Because let's just be honest, guys. We've been down this road pre-Phil Jackson, during Phil Jackson, post-Phil Jackson. We've garnered all these picks, and they become projects. So if you could parlay a project into a bona fide player, make it to the playoffs, whether you make a splash or not, whether you get out the first round or not, you're building towards something. Now we're in the know again. Like Coach said, somebody might want to come to the Knicks now. Hey, I see what they're doing. Russell Westbrook may not be the long-term answer. I get it. Thinking long-term, then think long-term. What are you going to do pre-post Russell Westbrook? I just can't stand the narrative on Westbrook, maybe because I'm a Westbrook fan. Nobody had to average a triple-double in 54 years. Russell Westbrook does it 2-3 years in a row, and all of a sudden the triple-double ain't worth nothing no more. I don't get that narrative. I love the way he plays. I love what he brings to the game, and that's something the Knicks have been missing. Now you got a motivating coach. You got a motivated player. Ain't a lot of this stuff that we see today with the Knicks, with Julius Randle jacking up threes, this guy not hustling. If Russell Westbrook gives you that look twice, I think you're going to change your mentality, let alone Thibodeau. But when you got a guy on the court that displays that kind of vigor, you got two options, guys. You either fall in or you fall the hell out. So if I could parlay, let's just say, a Knox and a Randle and get that deal with Tobias Harris, here goes your perimeter shooter. Shake Milton's a pretty good shooter. And you get Westbrook. Now, that may be a pipe dream, some strange rumor, but that's the only rumor I heard, guys, that I could see saying, wow, somebody got to go. I don't give a damn if they had to add in Randall, Knox, and Barrett. You're getting three bona fide NBA-type players to move your franchise forward for the next at least 3 years. Tobias Harris is young. Middleton's young. Milton's. He's still young. So you'll still have a young core with NBA experience who have proven themselves in the NBA. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? You don't want to pull the trigger. Sometimes you got to pull the trigger. You can't come to a gunfight with a knife, guys. And guess what? The way Barrett and Robinson, I know people love them, but they really right now do not fit in. I understand Robinson's a big guy. He could protect the rim. But this is not the way the NBA is going, guys. The NBA is get up, get some points. The more shots you take, the better chance you have of scoring. Just slowing things down for the big guy, possibly an alley-oop. Yeah, that looks cute. It didn't work for the Clippers. It didn't work for the Rockets. And now these teams are going to have yard sales. So if you could get quality NBA players, again, Steve, you know me. I've been on this line, you and Knickerbocker. I'm not a big proponent in the draft. And the Knicks have made me think of that even more with their selection. I understand we got a new regime who could probably evaluate talent better and all of that. I'm just going to stick to my guns where I don't think this regime is thinking 5-6 years down the road, guys. If you got to pull the trigger, pull that damn trigger. Because, first of all, guys, we're running out of time. The season starts in, what, 5-6 weeks. So if you're thinking about pulling that trigger, take the gun out the holster.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out exactly in a week when this thing all goes the plan. How this thing goes down, Dom. After the draft, we'll talk exactly how the Knicks and the rest of the teams did in the draft next Wednesday. Coach Chris, what you got for us? Anything else you'd like to add? Where do you stand as far? I think we all can agree everybody's a tradable piece, but the question I think is more so about you want to build within the youth or you want to get the vets now and try to push for a playoff spot and maybe bank on some veteran acquisitions to get to where you want to go as far as playoffs, so on and so forth.
I would like to bring in the vets, but still be able to keep one or two young pieces, right? So you still want to be able to bring in these guys to teach these younger guys how to win. If you're bringing in a bunch of dudes in their 30s, we're only going to have them for about 2-3 years maybe. So I would like to, if you got to pull a trade on somebody, whatever you got to do to pull a trade on somebody, you know, hopefully this doesn't turn into an Antonio McDyess situation. You pull the trigger, you get these older dudes, these guys is willing to play, these vets, they're hungry, and they're willing to come in here, bright lights, big city, and put New York on their back and bring us back to what we used to be. But you still want to keep one or two, you know, young guys that's going to be able to contribute, you know, that's going to be able to play defense, and that's going to be able to take what these guys are teaching and then, you know, build from there. Kind of like what the Celtics have been doing. You got your two young guys, and they keep bringing in all these other vets to kind of fit in around them. You know, however, we got to work that out. There's a lot of free agents this year that are not big-name free agents, but vets, guys that have been in the NBA. They know how to play. They know how to win. Guys that are fighting for their contracts, because a lot of these mid-level guys, you know, with how the contracts are situated right now, you got a lot of guys taking 1-year deals, 2-year deals that should be having 5-year deals, but they'll be willing to come into New York for a certain amount of money just so they can be on the NBA roster and, you know, they'll be able to contribute. You know, nothing too crazy. We don't got to go out and make the big splash for Antonio Davis if he was to declare. I doubt it big time, but, you know, we don't need to do all of that. What we need to do, we should be already on the phone with somebody, because if the draft is next week and somebody likes one of these young kids, I heard Minnesota's trying to get another lottery pick. And if that is the case, they got a couple guys over there that they might want to give up. If you got somebody like, like an Orlando that's trying to get into the top 10 because maybe they like somebody. Well, you know what? Give me Aaron Gordon. Give me Vucevic. Whoever they got. You got to be on the phone right now. They should have, an hour ago, should have been trying to work something out. You know, I don't think they should go to Chris Paul route. He's like 117 years old. He's been in the NBA for 37 years. they got to figure this out the right way because you want to attract other free agents. You want to attract other guys that's going to say, I want to trade to New York. I want to go play there because of this person, because of how they're running things. Because nobody wants to come here right now because the last 6 years we haven't had any identity. We've had multiple players in and out the team. We've been treating our stars like crap. We got to fix all of that. And once we can't do that right now with what we're doing, unless we can, we need that one big name to start it off, right? Because you can't do nothing without one piece. We need that one person that we can bring in that everybody else is going to say, you know what? That's where I want to be. I like that dude. I like the way he plays. I like the way he's so whatever. That's where I want to be. So whatever they got to do to figure that out, I'm with it.
Yeah, you make a lot of great points, Coach. You really do. I'm kind of Dom. I really want to go big, and I think everything you're saying as far as makes sense as far as the domino effect with Russell Westbrook. I'm a pro Russell Westbrook guy. Like maybe not as much as you, Dom, but I am. Like, you know, I love him. You know, as far as his days with OKC, especially the 1-2 punch with him and Durant, especially those years. And I still think Westbrook does have a lot left in the tank, and he definitely has a lot left with his salary. See, this is the thing I don't want to get snake bitten as a Knicks fan, and that we all can attest to this, Evan. I'm going to go right back to you because this is not a Derek Harper situation, obviously, because this is not your – this is the missing piece for a title contender, a championship team when he got traded from Dallas to the Knicks back in, what, 93, 94, whatever it was. It's kind of more – it feels like more – Marbury-ish, getting that type of acquisition, but more because I think like Dom said, I value the triple double stat. I know he kind of stat padded, but it's still an impressive accomplishment at the end of the day. I don't look at Russell Westbrook as the Derek Harper situation. I kind of see him more Stephon Marbury impact on taking the lead. How Marbury came over in 04 and pretty much the mid 2000s, even though those teams weren't. You know, they weren't, you know, the best teams of the best teams, though. What they were trying to do with that roster, it just failed inside out because of the Eddie Curry situation, so on and so forth. I'm going back to you, Ev. I think that's the main thing we're going to see from this front office. Like what Dom has pretty much said, and Coach Chris, and you definitely nailed it as far as the regimes. Next week is really waiting after all these months. What the Knicks plan, if they actually stick to their plan and how they executed it. And you mentioned multiple times and wrote it down, the best player available. We don't know their board. And necessarily, we don't know their plan. I mean, we hear speculations. We hear these trades, like Dom said, and they all sound good. But next week, we're really going to find out, bro. What else would you like to add, man?
The best thing, you know what I love about this regime so far? You know, you hear all these reports. From all these bloggers and sportscasters and analysts and things of that sort. There was one report that was written about 3 weeks ago that it seems to be like it's the one that gets ignored. And it's one that was directly from Scott Perry and from Leon Rose, is that everything that you hear is pretty much an embellishment. Because everything that they're doing, they're keeping close to the chest. Only a select handful of people actually know what the Knicks plan is, who they're really targeting, what they're going for, and what the actual plan is. And that leaves us, the Knicks fans, you know, and all the bloggers out there, and everybody with a website or everybody with a podcast out there, leaves us speculating. So I think we should do this. I should do this. This is what makes the great sports talk that, you know, that and the great dialogue that you, Steve, you seem to have a hard on for, because that's the greatest thing about it. This regime is not this regime is not telling us jack yet. They're just gonna go in and do the job instead of sitting there and talking about the job. They're gonna go ahead and do, you know, execute their plan, and it could be what we mentioned. It could be something completely out of left field. Who knows if they actually do trade up and go for the number one pick, Or maybe they just stay put and they just go with what they have, and they'll just wait a couple of weeks till, you know, they can at least package the deal. The Knicks are in the greatest position because, as Dom has alluded to this, not last week, not 2 weeks ago, but months ago, you had all the time in the world to figure this out, to get your ducks in a row, to do your analytics, to do your interviewing, to set up your front office, set up all the people underneath, evaluate the talent that you have, look over these contracts, see what you can break, see what you can, you know, you can keep, what's more of, you know, what, where's the real value here? And because they have so much experience on the agent side, it lends a huge, credible wealth of experience and knowledge to help them in this position. So I'm very excited. This is like the, I know we say this every year, but I'm very excited this year about what the Knicks may or may not do. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be happy about some things, and there's going to be some things I'm going to be scratching my head on. But the good thing is that we have this platform to talk about it, to probably make some sense of it. But the great, but I'm super excited about what the Knicks may do. Maybe they do pull the trigger on the Westbrook. Maybe they don't. But I know they're going to do something, and it's going to be freaking exciting.
Hey, Av, you got a question for Dom or Coach Chris on this topic with the prospects, what the Knicks may or may not do. I mean, this is a great dialogue as far as the ways, the options they have, especially at their draft position. In my honest opinion, Av, I don't see like this must grab guy you got to get in this draft. I just think there's a bunch of good players, very good. I think they're going to be some decent pros. I really think later on in the draft it does get a little bit thin. But Av, you got a question for Coach Chris or Dom? Because I think that we're all seeing this the way it should go because they are keeping quiet, talking about the Knicks.
Right, and I guess this is more for Coach Chris, but I want to hear Dom's opinion as well because you're hearing all these freaking reports of the Knicks really eyeing Obi Toppin. And I'm looking at the little bit that I know about him, looking up all the draft packages that that every freaking mock draft analyst has, and I'm liking what I see. Do you think if he's available, you go after him to keep, or do you even get him at all?
So, realistically, out of everybody in this draft, he's probably the second most NBA-ready person coming into this draft. And you could probably maybe put either Edwards ahead of him or Wiseman ahead of him, but he's top three, let's say. But I consider him probably the second best NBA-ready type of guy. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he can jump, and he works his butt off. Nobody knew who this kid was 4 years ago. And I always like that story when kids come out of nowhere to bring themselves to the top. So just that alone right there shows you he's going to come in, he's going to work hard, he's going to do whatever he wants. And that right there could be somebody falling in love with him. And if somebody's falling in love with him, I think we grab him and we make him available, because if somebody's willing to give up something to get a player like that, because they see what we see, then let's go after some of those pieces that we talked about before.
Dominic.
Excuse me, guys. The problem with him is right now, again, all these projections, he's projected to go number three to Charlotte. We know how Charlotte is. Charlotte's going to get the rookies on the cheap, down low for a few years. That's right up their alley. Who the Knicks going to trade? Are the Knicks going to trade other rookies that are already a year or two in, only have a year or two left on said contracts, where Charlotte's going to either have to spend money or move them? I mean, I watch Charlotte all the time, guys. As painful as it is, I like them, though. They're in North Carolina. The seats are cheap, the whole nine yards. But they're not a team that's going to say, we're in it to win it. They could get a draft pick. They're going to get them on the loan for 4 years, see what they can do, see what the organization could do. But in all likelihood, he'll be gone in 4 years. So if the Knicks trade, who's the Hornets going to pick up? This is the real weird scenario I have with the Knicks trying to move up, move around, move in, move out in the draft. Who do the Knicks have that teams are going to want? It goes back to what Coach said earlier. He made a great point how we always made the bad moves with the McDices. I haven't felt this way in a while. I'm like Knickerbocker Ave. For some strange reason, guys, I'm putting my confidence in these guys the Knicks have. We can't keep looking in our rearview mirror of what we did before, guys. We got to put that behind us. At least that's what I did. Can't tell nobody what to do.
But that's what I said
but
earlier.
I put all that behind us. Yeah, I,
but Don,
yeah,
that's
I put all that
said.
Behind
us. It's a whole new crop of new dudes.
Right.
It's not the previous regime.
Right, and like Knickerbocker Ave said, I'm probably not the only guy on earth that has said, you know, the Knicks probably benefited more from COVID-19 than anybody. You know, you had 9 months, guys, and so far so good, guys. They put all the right pieces in the right holes during these 9 months. So why would I want to give up on them now? You know, so far so good. I mean, and in this draft, guys, I go back to, I don't see a can't-miss franchise-changing player coming out this draft. And in the Knicks' position where they want their franchise to change, we ain't getting Patrick Ewing. He ain't coming through the door. LeBron's not being drafted this year. Jordan ain't getting drafted this year. Even Jordan didn't go high in the draft. But this is the opportunity for the Knicks to put their heads together, like Coach said. I believe, Coach, that they've been on the phone longer than an hour ago. I think they've been on the phone when they found out where they was in this draft. And they was like, we got to do something. And when the last thing I'm going to say, when you take a Westbrook and a Thibodeau, if you won 20, 21 games last year, between those two guys, Westbrook's just pure talent, motivation, and Thibodeau's X's and O's, guys, we're talking a good – they're going to win a good 15, 20 games themselves between the coaching and the playing. That's one thing we Knicks fans got to put in our head. We got a coach that's going to win games. We ain't got David Fizdale on the sideline standing there in the B-boy stance, can't come up with a play after calling a timeout. We don't have that no more. Again, guys, rearview mirror. New regime. Let's get this party started. And let's get it started right now. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go back to you, Don, real quick. I have to answer the question because this is part of what Chris has said in his message for this episode as far as what we topic. I don't foresee a scenario he drops to the number 8 position. And I think he's probably not going to no lower than 6. Now, we've seen weird things in the draft, and that's why we have a draft, to see what actually things happen. I don't necessarily put all my stock in rumors. You know, I've been the most anti-rumor guy probably in sports podcast history. You already know how I feel about rumors. I hate rumors. I'm all about reality. I'm all about what makes sense and just thinking it out. Basically, everything
you
said
you
in your last goal. Right. So I say all this to say I don't see like Don said, there's not a for show a Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Shaquille O'Neal type impact walking Hall of Famer in this draft. Like, I don't see that. I just see a bunch of good, nice pieces to add to your roster. And the Russell Westbrook thing is kind of a game changer because, like I said, I really foresee him. He's the type of dude where you throw him on the Knicks, he's kind of got that Marbury impact, even more than Marbury. Just the way he attacks his energy. He is Madison Square Garden type energy, the way he performs on the court. So, but yeah, Don, like I said, this thing is totally different because this is a whole new regime. It's just that simple as far as why Knicks fans should not be pessimistic. They have not given us a reason to be pessimistic because they've had all the time in the world to figure this shit out. They really did. But I'm like you, Av, I am thoroughly excited for next week. back-to-back episodes next week. We'll be on after the draft, so we'll get to that. So let's get around for final thoughts. Now, Dom, take your time. You have a little bit of time to kill, but your final thoughts on these prospects. I like Coach Chris. I've seen more tape than I did in the last 2 weeks, and you know, I'm but my position still stands as far as what I think the Knicks should do if they don't make any moves as far as trades. Give me the wings. Give me the shooters. And I think that's a good draft if you don't get like a Russell Westbrook type of player or Chris Paul, somebody like that. But Dom, give us your final thoughts. Take your time. Go to Coach Chris and then Knickerbocker Ave. Knickerbocker Ave, I look forward to the dialogue within the next week with Knicks fans on social media. But Dom, you first, final thoughts.
Well, I know how we all hate rumors, but this guy's at it again. LaVar Ball. They're trying to parlay his son all the way down to number 7 to go to Detroit. So will Detroit trade their 7th pick for a 1st pick? Who knows? But then again, that's beyond my comprehension. That's not neither one of them on my team. The only thing I can say, guys, I waited a long time. And like Knickerbocker Ave has said, this is the greatest opportunity the Knicks have had in years. Years. We have gone through some doldrums, guys, if I'm not mistaken, 17 wins, 2 times in 4 years. We've been through the Phil Jacksons. The coach talks about the revolving door of players. We've had a revolving door of coaches. It's time the Knicks put their heads together and let's just be realistic. You know, some guys got to go. Some guys got to go just like some guys in the front office had to go, and they're gone. So this is a new day, a new era, and I'm telling you guys, right now I see there's 2 teams in the East that are slipping already. Between Indiana and Orlando's always a hit and miss. Good team, don't get me wrong, but they're a hit or miss. The Knicks regime, their coaching, and the players they bring in, the Knicks are going to be a 7 or 8 seed next year. That to us guys, it may not sound great, but we need baby steps. But baby steps in a big step kind of manner. We don't need to be in the draft next year. We don't need to be no lottery ball next year. Come on, guys. Every one of us on this line is old enough and have suffered long enough. It's time for the suffering to stop. That's why they did this. No more Dolan talk. No more what Dolan don't do. Dolan always pays his people. He just paid the wrong people. So now he paid the right people. Let's get this thing started. You know what? I debated getting league pass, but as hyped as I am, I'll be getting league pass. I'll be watching my Knicks, though I hate giving the NBA my money because of the way they act. I'm gonna step up because it's time, not to get off the subject, but it's time the NBA gives back to their fans, too. You know, we suffered just like they suffered, and all they ever talk about is revenue, and 50% of that revenue comes from us. When is the NBA going to say, thank you, Steve? How about we give League Pass free this year? How about we do something to give back to these fans that have gone through the same trials and tribulations that we did during COVID-19? Do yourself a favor. Get back in the good graces of your fans that generate this revenue for these CBAs and these guys who get all this money. I'm tired of hearing the Nobel Peace Prize awards for going to a damn bubble. And today's Veterans Day. The last thing I want to hear about is sacrifice. Come on, NBA, step up, do the right thing, give us something back. And on that note, Steve, I thank you again. This is always great. This was even greater tonight, guys. I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
All right, one more thing, Dom. I saw your post. I know we're Knicks fans, and I saw you shout out Tommy Heinsohn a long time, very, very long time. Mr. Everything, Boston Celtic, a guy from New Jersey. I don't think people realize as much as he went to school in Massachusetts for college, and he was an NBA champion all those years in the 60s with the Celtics, and he was a head coach throughout the 70s with the Celtics and called basketball. He's basically Clive. You know, I'm not comparing the player. I'm talking about as far as broadcasting, last shit. 30 years with the Celtics, and he died. And I know it's been a sad year with everybody going, but give us a quick thought on Tommy Heinsohn. I know we got like a couple more minutes, and then we'll pass it on to Coach Chris.
One great thing, guys, not only his longevity in this game, be it a player, coach, announcer, he's only one of 4 people, fellas, that have been inducted in the Hall of Fame as a player and a coach. That's saying something. We ain't talking player coach from the NCAA or Yao Ming playing 5 minutes in the NBA. No. People don't understand. They need to research it. They need to really research Tommy Heinsohn. Because this guy was what some of these guys would want to be. Let's get away from the championships because people say Boston had it great. They had the chip stack, whatever. Just take the time, guys, and research Tommy Heinsohn. This guy is more than a legend. And, Steve, you know, and I'm going to stop after this, if you ever watched a Celtic game, I used to tell my son, boy, I wish the Celtics were on HBO and Tommy Heinsohn could just curse and go crazy. You talk about a homer. This guy was a straight-up homer. He could care less what he said. He was just fun, guys. But as far as his basketball, guys, please, if anybody's listening on this line, especially you youngins, just Google Tommy Heinsohn. That's all I could say. And may he rest in peace. Job well done, sir. Very good. Oh, thank you, Steve. I forgot all about that.
Right. That guy, Mike Gorham with the local Boston Celtics broadcast, Vern Lundquist. Who else might be? James Brown from CBS. Those guys, great NBA final games in the 80s, by the way. Got to go back and, man, awesome. Coach Chris, get your final thoughts, and then, of course, Knickerbocker.
So I just want to pick up with Dom left off. He's 100% correct. I live up here in Connecticut. You only get – where I live, you either get Brooklyn Nets games or you get the Boston Celtics games. So before I could afford the league pass, when I was a teenager, I was getting – you know, I would watch the Celtics games. All the Tommy points, and you know, you hear that from all the New Englanders up here. So that's how I got put on to him for a while. But, yeah, great guy. I got to meet him once. Very, very friendly. You know, unfortunate that he had to go. Just want to get back into this whole draft thing. Fellas, you know, I know we're talking about Obi Toppin not being dropping down to our picks, but I want you to take into account that LaMelo Ball, Wiseman, and Edwards are considered the top three picks, all right? This kid, Okongwu, is making a lot of noise right now. People are really taking him pretty high. The kid, Denny Avidij, the kid from overseas. I'm sorry I'm messing his name up. He's picking up a lot right now. So that takes up five picks right now. Still got to take in Haliburton. It is still considered to be a top guy. Hayes and Okoro are still. So it's hard to say. One of these guys may drop down to us. It could be Toppin. It could be Okongwu. It could be Haliburton, it could be Hayes, any one of these guys, if one of these other teams can fall in love with them, and everybody's talking about Russell Westbrook, even if it's not Russell Westbrook, if it's one of these other teams that just doesn't want to pay these other guys, if we can get them to fall in love with one of these young guys, we hold that kid and we dangle them and we try to work that trade out. I do believe in these guys. I don't have any reason not to believe in these guys, and they're going to try to make us better. But I can't give you points without anything being done yet, so I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see how long it takes them to get going, and I'm going to hope for the best that by Christmas or New Year's, we're going to have something worked out where we are in a better situation than we've been in the last 6 years. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Great night. Shout out to Coach Chris, man. Thank you very much. Infamous Knickerbocker Av, your final thoughts. We got 50 seconds to wrap it up, and I look forward to you. I never seen you so happy in years, Av, on this podcast. Outside of winning Knicks trivia.
That's because I've never had such optimism in my life, considering you know, what we as Knicks fans have suffered, what we thought we were getting, and what we ended up getting. I mean, I'm hoping that this is not one of the same, but for some reason, I'm just feeling it. You know, 2020 has been a shitty year. It's been a year of a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of people from my, you know, from my childhood dying. I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, Alex Trebek, man, we lost James Bond and Black Panther, Kobe Bryant, and this guy all died in the same year. For Christ's sake, Who else is going? So it's like somebody check on Ric Flair, please, because I'm sure he's going to go soon. But fans, if you are a bleed blue, orange and blue Knick fan, you should be excited. There's going to be some things, there are going to be some changes in this organization. More for the better. I believe it's more for the better. Don't be upset if they trade your favorite player on the Knicks. Don't be upset if Neil Aquino or Dennis Smith or RJ or Mitchell or this guy or that guy is getting traded. Stop worrying about that. I know you bought the jersey. You want to keep on wearing it. Trust me. The kind of talent that I project that this team will at least shoot for will make you go out and buy yourself a new jersey with a much more popular player on the back of it. This team is finally in the greatest position ever because they've, like Dom just said, they've had 9 months to figure it out. We got a new president, a new senior vice president for talent. Our general manager is now with a more, let's say, stable mindset. We got a new head coach. We have the number 8th pick. We have another first-round pick and a bunch of other picks to follow in the coming years. We have so many opportunities to finally return this great organization that we all love and care for the last 20, 30 years, or however long you've been a Knick fan. I know for Godfather, it's been a lot longer. For some of you, it's been a lot longer. You remember the 73 Knicks or the 70 Knicks. I wasn't alive then. I was not even in my dad's nutsack when that happened. So let's just be like, let's give this regime the open-minded chance and hope for the better. So if that means we end up with Russell Westbrook, guess what, boys? We just got Russell fucking Westbrook. If we end up with Chris Paul, I know we're going to be a little bit disappointed, but we got Chris Paul. That's one huge stepping stone in the right direction, which is something the Knicks haven't been able to do in Lord knows how long. As always, Knickerbocker Av on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You know where to find me. I may not be on the platform all the time, but I am not a hard dude to find. You want to debate me? I'm open to it. Until then, sangre azul all day, every day. We'll be back next week for the draft. And we're going to dissect everything for every team, not just the Knicks, but we'll probably focus on the Knicks a little bit more. And let's have some fun, boys and girls, because the NBA season is coming back sooner than you thought it was.
I could have said it better than myself, man. I could have said it better, man, for Coach Chris and Dom and Av. No, Av, this is what we're going to do. Of course, we're going to be on after the draft, and we're going to discuss what we did and everybody else did. Av, when we make our picks, I probably will be on Knickerbocker Avenue's Instagram commenting. We probably could even wait for the episode to see what they did at the draft picks or trade or whatever they happen to do. I will be on Knickerbocker Ave Instagram or Facebook page, either or. And weighing my thoughts and then getting on this episode with you guys. And we're going to really talk it out and see what they did. And we'll react to it for the good, for the bad. I think the premise is we have a clean slate with the regime and we're excited. And I think that's what I'm taking from this episode with Coach Chris, Dom, and Ev. And all the episodes is going to be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, BleedBlueShow.com/podcast. We'll be on next week after the draft. Sangre azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.